Living on Earth needs your support to be heard each week. Kindly give what you can today by using the donate link to the left of this page. Thanks.
President Obama's stimulus package calls for 40 million smart electric meters to be installed in American homes. Oh, sure, they're smart, but can they play World of Warcraft?
4 years have passed since the mortal races banded together and stood united against the might of the Burning Legion. Though Azeroth was saved, the tenuous pact between the Horde and the Alliance has all but evaporated.
World of Warcraft, known as WoW to aficionados, holds the Guinness Book record as the most popular, massively multiplayer online role-playing game. WoW. Massive, yes. More than 11 million people around the world play World of Warcraft, making mayhem with the Horde and the Alliance, earning points, defeating monsters. Since both World of Warcraft and smart electric meters are online, Professor Byron Reeves of Stanford University believes the raw power of WoW in the virtual world could be harnessed to save energy in the real world.
It's a chance to play with a team. It's a chance to meet people, a chance to represent yourself in media rather than actually sitting on the other side of the screen only absorbing media. It's a chance to get feedback, to go on quests, to be engaged with groups, to do a lot of the different things that people do in real life in a way that is a whole lot of fun.
So how does it work? Let's say, I'm a subscriber to World of Warcraft and I've got my account. How does it tie into my meter?
So imagine that you're in your home, you're signed into this game, you have played this game before, you're on a team, you're in an entertainment context, you have a representation of yourself in this game, just like you do in all the entertainment games, and you make a decision in the game to turn off the lights in an unused bedroom. As soon as you do that, the smart meter recognizes that, sends the information through the network to your computer, and your house turns a shade of green that it wasn't before. And if I'm using less electricity, my team might do well. I get gold pieces and points, whatever the game designers think is fun. In other words, you get feedback in an entertainment game about what you're doing in the real world.
So people will do something in a virtual world for points that they wouldn't do in the real world for money? I mean, I could save money by simply turning off my lights.
That's a good question. So the whole goal here is to align entertainment and fun with utility and community value. So, of course, you could change your energy usage because you had read all the science about climate change and you knew something about energy usage in the house and you were interested in saving 6 cents here, a dollar there, $2 there on your energy bill. But we don't think that that will be enough motivation at scale for lots of people to get into this. So if you can align that goal with, let's have some fun, let's go on a quest, let's have a team activity, let's see who can do this better than others, let's help each other, all the different features of games that are important, if we can get that going at the same time as the community value, we might have something special.
Well, Professor, let's talk to a gamer. We have on the line Colin Ahern, who happens to be the brother of our producer, Ashley Ahern. Hi, Colin.
Hi.
So you're a game player. How much of your life do you dedicate to this game?
In my life, when I played heavily, it could be as much as 8 hours a day. But recently, I've been cutting back due to other commitments, such as college, you know, everything that entails, socializing, schoolwork, and writing papers and things.
Yeah, life.
Yeah, exactly. For the real world.
Well, what about this idea of Professor Reeves?
I think it's an excellent idea. But one of the main things that I notice is World of Warcraft players are really hobbyists above all else. And that is, you create an avatar that represents you in a very real way, but in a very virtual environment. And that's important to players because everything they do has some effect, either through an award, a reward, or in some way bettering that character. And I think something that's going to be very important to stress with a game for it to really take off is the rewards that can be achieved in-game for achievements that they themselves do outside of the game, like turning off a light or doing less dishes or doing less laundry.
But you know, Colin, I have a picture of you sitting there with all the lights off so you can save energy, so you can make points, so they can play your game, and sitting there playing your game in the dark.
Yes, that would be an extreme way to go about it, absolutely.
I think Colin actually hit on one of the features from our laboratory work that's the most important, the notion of feedback. I mean, we know that feedback really works well when it's tightly coupled with the behavior that's generating the feedback. So this could be a huge feature of the game. And it's also something that the gamer generation, those people like Colin that have spent a lot of time in this game, have a reason to expect in non-entertainment context. So a lot of these younger folks are looking for direction and feedback moment by moment.
So, Colin, how would the game be constructed so that you'd want to play it and save energy?
I think the most important aspect, the addicting part to me that would make it something I would want to do is a leaderboard is a really good idea. I like the idea that with the top players in the nation who use the least energy, being able to compare yourself to them is key. It just generates that competition that brings people to a game. Also, it's a quick, immediate reward.
You know, Professor, it sounds very powerful. I mean, you've got 11 million players of this game on the planet, but the idea of social control by way of the net sounds a little creepy.
Well, that may be in part a generational issue. I'm not sure it's creepy to imagine yourself voluntarily entering a game space to, you know, with friends, maybe some real life friends that you've brought in, maybe a dorm floor, maybe a neighborhood plays together. So it's not only new people that you meet. I think it's really people are very comfortable with this. This is a Facebook, MySpace generation. We're initiating social contact. The threshold for that is much lower. I think people will be very comfortable with it if, as Colin said, it can be engaging and done with a great narrative and great characters and all the things that make movies and games and entertainment special.
Byron Reeves is a professor at the Department of Communication at Stanford University in California. And Colin Ahern was an avid World of Warcraft player. These days, he's a junior at Oberlin College in Ohio. Colin, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
On the next Living on Earth, 80% of the world's production of lead ends up in car batteries, leaving a trail of death and neurological damage.
There are 120 million people who are overexposed to lead around the world. That's three times the number infected by HIV/AIDS. And this problem seems to be growing throughout the developing world.
The toxic toll of lead batteries, next time on Living on Earth.